Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. As the usual Sheldon Neidel message for this week, quite a few varying general news items. Still have some reports on UFO healing to read out. I had 7 short reports ready last week and only had time to read the one, so there's something in store there. What I've decided to do on the question of general spiritual messages, or those of that nature, is to read one I had this week from St. Germain, which I thought was very uplifting. So I'll start, as usual, with the message from Sheldon Neidel on behalf of the spiritual hierarchy and the Galactic Federation. And it reads, "We return, dear hearts, with another message about the secret happenings on your beautiful world. To begin with, the various factions that make up your world's secret power structure are wrapping up their current disputes. These are the vestiges of what has proven to be quite a long undertaking. Our Earth allies inform us that the new strategies and protocols we recently gave them are indeed becoming the last straw that breaks the camel's back. We are looking for a speedy conclusion to these affairs and expect that the much longed for US regime change and the accompanying announcements are not far off. In addition, a number of events occurred that indicate that the present economic order is at death's door. We have been hearing from our diplomatic corps and their liaisons that a series of important breakthroughs on a number of fronts took place in the past few days, which signal that the advice given to us by the former members of the now defunct Anchara Alliance are starting to pay dividends." I would come in there and say that for anybody who's not familiar with the Anchara Alliance, to the best of my knowledge, that is one that was formed possibly thousands, if not millions of years ago, by the reptoid extraterrestrials, and did result, as I understand it, in a galactic war. So I proceed. The message reads, "The mounting panic of the Dark Cabal leads our Earth allies to surmise that the typical endgame strategies it is known for are being put into play. Hence, our Earth allies stepped up the next set of countermeasures suggested by us. These are to be what finally forces the dark to accept its defeat. Our intention is to watch what occurs next very carefully. The intricacies of the dark's plan need to be followed closely and then dissected very cautiously. We have given this task to a special group of liaisons assigned to both our diplomatic corps and to our Earth allies. We know well how crafty the Dark's remaining minions are, and we intend to leave not one stone unturned during our ongoing investigations. In the past, we observed that this group can seemingly produce a solution out of thin air to cunningly extricate themselves from danger. Our way out is to use our new data to prevent this from happening again. We intend for this present scenario to force them to retire and permit our side the victory we have all sought. This victory represents a great many things. It is the moment when a grand shift in your reality can begin to manifest openly. To most, a cogent sign of change is most welcome. Making talk of a grand transformation seems quite real. Knowing this, we have made a point of requesting our Earth allies to treat this occasion with all due ceremony and fanfare. Moreover, those responsible for criminally delaying this change are to be brought to justice, and the process of this castigation is to be a public event throughout. Normally, we would not condone such things as the victory parades of ancient Rome and other bygone civilizations, but in this case, it is felt that an exception to our rules is called for. What our Earth allies are doing is to bring an end to 13 millennia of dark history, and some substantial event is needed to come up with a show that is to be made public at the appropriate time. The world is to witness a legal spectacle that leaves no doubt in anyone's mind that a fundamental change has taken place. In this atmosphere, our Earth allies, many announcements take on the weight and significance that such matters deserve. These changes are to be fully legal and openly and publicly witnessed. Once set upon a new Earth, your world can truly begin the task of transforming your reality. This also means that a great deal of responsibility is to fall on every light worker's shoulders. You need to make yourselves ready, both mentally and emotionally, to handle what is put before you. Your role is pivotal. This fledgling new world relies on those who can interpret its potential and demonstrate how to embody it. The transitional governments need informed supporters to clarify the implications of these changes, including the abundance to neighbours and communities. Humanity is setting out upon a wholly novel and rapid journey to a destination that few can as yet accurately fathom. Accordingly, your mission is to assist in clearing away the cobwebs of confusion by replacing them with a clear and comprehensible framework. The Galactic Federation is fully prepared to help you in these activities. Many important new policies are to be implemented by the new temporary governments. These policies in many ways represent a turnabout in the unlawful statutes imposed by your present forms of governance. These changes in direction can be bewildering to the uninformed and call for the lucid input of enlightened individuals who can come forward to use their communication skills on the internet and the media. A coherent and inspiring exposition of current developments was never more essential than now. In this open climate, a broad-based public forum, the hallmark of democracy, can naturally emerge. These informal networks can keep you all informed and questioning anything that troubles you. The aim of a true democracy is the bridging of natural differences in order to reach a durable consensus by means of thoughtful, clear, open discussion on all issues. The new governments are to reinstate a degree of democracy that has not been seen before. The massive corruption now inherent in government is to be uprooted by the measures put into action by the transitional governments. Fear of change, inculcated into human nature by dire experience, needs to be addressed. One of the tasks of the interim governments, and indeed one of the most critical responsibilities given to light workers, is to demonstrate procedures that can allay these fears. For example, your government watchdog duties must be seen to be effective. You need to prove to the public that the new governments are nothing like the old ones. Furthermore, your world is to be prepared for the great consciousness shift, and this includes the necessary preparations for first contact. First contact remains our primary concern. We are determined to carry out this operation as soon as we are so advised by heaven. Your continuing spiritual progress demands that this complex procedure be done effectively and in line with what we have agreed upon with our Earth allies. Concerning this, we have given our Earthbound friends a proper time frame in which to carry out those things they have so graciously taken on. Nonetheless, we reserve the right to intervene in these affairs in the event that heaven agrees that what they are doing strays from Lord Surya's divine edicts. We emphasize this to encourage you in those duties assigned you, knowing that at all times we have your back. What we do after first contact is accomplished depends heavily on what transpires once the present US regime and its friends are legally disposed of. To repeat, the manner in which the first dominoes fall greatly influences the post-contact world. Our desires for these transitional governments to achieve their goals and hand over to the citizens of Earth a most wondrous realm. This world, which is freeing itself from its polluting past and working to instill a true sense of democracy, is the one that we intend to make a first contact with. this earth can easily accept us since our existence and benevolent reasons for coming are to be common knowledge. Moreover, we can be assured that the sudden appearance of Earth's ascended masters who are to accompany us can bring great cheer and much wisdom to you. This is the realm that we expect to find once heaven gives us the go-ahead we have all been waiting for with such joyful anticipation. Finally, the message concludes. Today we have broached new aspects of what is about to happen on your world. We bring up these topics now so that you can sense that the grand events we all long for are truly not far off. We have also used this message to give you a better idea of what is expected of you by heaven and by us. I think, again, that's a very good message. Confirms that at some stage there is some divine decree which will move events on. So, in other words, first contact cannot be put off forever. There is a limit to the amount of time that these matters will be given before there will be intervention. Now, coming to my general news items, as I said earlier on, I've got quite a variety of different items for this particular program. There was one, like most, that came to me via email, which came through on Thursday last, which was the 7th of June. And it was an article by Katrina van den Heuvel in The Nation. And it read that last month's failed missile defense test was categorized as a no test by the Missile Defense Agency. The target missile didn't fly into the range of the interceptor, so it was never launched. Even though it was deemed a no test by the MDA, an agency spokesman nevertheless claimed that the results of the failed test underscored the need of the US to install 10 interceptors in Poland and a tracking radar station in the Czech Republic as a defense against potential missile attack from Iran. It showed that any missiles that Iran launched could similarly go astray and land in Europe, even if Europe was not Iran's target. Person writing the article said, huh? Welcome to what Joseph Sirianni, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and author of the new book, Bomb Scare, calls this week's episode of President Bush in Fantasyland. And the quote was made, President Bush is rushing to deploy a technology that does not work against a threat that does not exist. Sirianni says, Iran is at least 5 to 10 years away from the capability to build a nuclear weapon and at least that far from having a missile that could hit Europe, let alone the US. And anti-missile systems are still nowhere near working despite $150 billion spent since the 1983 Star Wars program started and years of phony tests staged to demonstrate progress and success. None of this has stopped Bush from continuing to tout his Czech Republic and Poland-based proposed missile defense system designed to thwart a possible nuclear attack from Iran. Adding to the irony and the outrage is the fact that while Bush continues to frame the weapon system as indispensable to democracy, this is aimed at a country like Iran, so they couldn't blackmail the free world. The people of the Czech Republic and Poland continue to oppose the plans. And recent polls showed that over 60% of the Czechs are opposed and only 25% of the Poles support the missile defense plan. There are a little bit of news about something that perhaps in general terms doesn't make the newspapers. And I certainly haven't seen much on the email rounds about that one. From the website yesmagazine.com came an article called Democracy Rising by Nadia Martinez. And she said, as the people of Latin America build democracies from the bottom up, the symbols of power are changing. What used to be the emblems of poverty and oppression, indigenous clothing and speech, the labels campesino and landless worker are increasingly as symbols of new power, as people-powered movements drive the region towards social justice and equality. These symbols speak not of the elite authority limited to a few, but power broadly shared. This symbolism was especially rich last year in Cochabamba, Bolivia, when the new Minister of Justice made her entrance at an international activist summit. Casimira Rodriguez, a former domestic worker, wore the thick black braids and palera, a long multi-layered skirt of an Aymara indigenous woman. As she made her way through the throng, Rodriguez further distinguished herself from the typical law enforcement chief by passing out handfuls of coca leaves. Throughout the region, marginalized people are rising up, challenging the system that's kept them poor and pursuing a new course. In country after country, people are selecting leaders who strongly reject the Washington-led neoliberal policies of restricted government spending on social programs, privatization of public services such as education and water, and opening up borders to foreign corporations. I complete this extract by saying that there was a further reference to Mexico, saying, of course, there are exceptions, most notably Mexico. It's part of an article that I thought worth mentioning because it shows the amount of change that is taking place in Latin America. Very interesting that the poorer nations that do have some power behind them are using it to forge a new type of society. Very good indeed, I think. An article here that came from the WashingtonPost.com site was by Colleen Bowley through the Associated Press. And I'm not going to read too much out of it, but it refers to something that may not be generally known, that in Milan, Italy, a program has opened where it is a trial that for the moment has been put off until June the 18th, where the Italian government has asked the country's highest court to throw out indictments against several, I believe, Americans, all but one of them believed to be CIA agents, who are accused of abducting Osama Mustafa Hafa on a Milan street on February 17th, 2003. And the government in Italy is concerned that the trial might embarrass Italy's intelligence community over this highly secret operation by publicly airing details about the US program of extraordinary rendition, which moves terrorism suspects from country to country without public legal proceedings. Now, Italian prosecutors say that Nassar, also known as Abu Omar, was abducted in an operation coordinated by the Italian intelligence and then transferred to US bases in Italy and Germany before being moved to Egypt, where he was imprisoned for 4 years. And Nasser, who was released on February the 11th, said he was tortured. I just wanted to emphasize the fact, as people seem to have discovered, that when these people are subjected to what they call extraordinary rendition, they are taken to countries where torture takes place. My next item comes from a release. I think it must be the Associated Free Press in Kuwait City. It's just a short reference here to Kuwait, who are known as a staunch US ally. And they said on Monday last it would not allow the United States to use its territory as a launch pad for any attack on Iran over its nuclear program. And they said, quote, "The United States did not ask to use Kuwaiti military facilities for any attack. And even if it did, we will not allow anybody to use our territory." So said Defense and Interior Minister Sheikh Jaber al-Mubarak al-Sabah. He told that to reporters. And if you remember back, Kuwait served as the launch pad for the US invasion of Iraq in 2003, and for the moment remains the main staging point for US-led troops in the country. Around 15,000 US troops are stationed at several bases in the Emirate. And on Sunday, visiting Iranian Parliament Speaker Golan Ali Haddad Adel said Tehran would hit US military bases in Gulf states if they were used in an attack on his country. And he said, quote, if this actually happens, we will be forced to defend ourselves. We will target those bases or points. So, there we are. It's interesting to know that someone who allowed their bases to be used by the US before for other attacks in the Middle East is now having second thoughts about it. I think that's a development that is to be welcomed. Now, I saw another report about Iran, but unfortunately, when it ran off on my printer, the very bottom of the page is cut off, and I can't actually credit it to the source it came from. But it's interesting in as much that it talks about the nuclear programs that different countries have. And I thought if you've never heard the statistics, you might be interested in knowing that this report estimated that the US, Russia, China, France, Britain, Pakistan, and India have apparently 11,530 warheads available for delivery by missile or aircraft at the start of 2007, with Russia and the United States accounting for more than 90%. 5,614 in Russia and 5,045 in the US. He also said that the United States remained the world's biggest military spender last year and spent $529 billion on its military forces, while China overtook Japan as Asia's top arms spender. US military spending grew from $505 billion in 2005, mainly because of the costly military operations in Iraq, Afghanistan, so said the SRPRI. And they said, quote, this massive increase in US military spending has been one of the factors contributing to the deterioration of the US economy since 2001. The US was followed by Britain and France in mainly military spending, while China reached nearly $50 billion, making it the fourth biggest arms spender in the world. Japan was fifth at $43.7 billion. And finally, it said, Russia, which spent $34.7 billion on arms, has used its energy wealth to revive national pride, to restore its influence in surrounding countries and to maximize its geopolitical government. That's interesting, a lot of interesting facts there. Thought it might have been also interesting if they added up exactly what these various countries spend on their arms, and I think it's absolutely staggering, because at a quick thought, you're looking at well over $1,000 billion. I mean, isn't that an absolute outrage and a crime to spend all that money? I know they are in some ways weapons of defense, but if we could only broker peace, think of how much good use that money could be put in. Got an email today from someone who circulates their own thoughts on the email circuit, someone called Jamie. And he was referring to the filmmaker, Aaron Russo, who made a film in America called Freedom to Fascism. And his role has been committed to waking people up to take action and take back their country. And Jamie said, I was on a conference call last night with his friends and supporters. Aaron was supposed to be on the call for an important announcement, but did not make it. Apparently, he collapsed at his home and was taken to hospital. He has cancer and is in critical condition, He was given an emergency blood transfusion the night before. The announcement was to be that he is resigning from his group and activism because of his health, so he can focus on becoming well. And Jamie said, "I learned on the call that 16 states have passed legislation rejecting the Real ID Act, and 32 other states have pending legislation against it. However, they told us the states only voted against it because there is no funding with it. The good news is that South Carolina has voted on and passed legislation that completely rejects the Real ID Act, and South Carolina will not enforce it." Jamie said, "Let's pray more states follow suit." And he did ask people to send out their prayers for Aaron Russo, hoping that he gets well quickly and does fully recover. So we've got a few general items of news here. It's a short one here, nearer to home to me in England. Came from a website called naturalproductsonline.co.uk. And if you thought things were bad in America, maybe they're heading that way in Europe, because an EU directive could apparently close 700 health stores. And it reads that over half of Britain's health food stores could be forced to close if the European Commission imposes tough new limits on daily vitamin and mineral doses under the Food Supplements Directive. That's the stark warning from the National Association of Health Stores, which recently polled retailers on the likely impact of the FSD on their businesses and on customer choice. The NAHS says its survey confirms that in the worst-case scenario, in which maximum permitted levels are pegged to very low levels across Europe, the UK market would be decimated and that millions of customers would be denied products of their choice, as many high-dose specialist supplements are removed from sale. So there we are. We're activating our forces over here and trying to speak up for those who would like to block that type of movement. Interesting article here, one quite different to what I'm normally used to reading out from my general news. It's one talking about the mind being outside the brain. Not quite sure where it came from, but there's enough information in the report for anybody who's interested to search it out. And it reads that by now everyone is familiar with advances in brain imaging and the fascinating insights being produced in many areas of brain research. Much less known are advances in locating the mind outside the brain. Long considered paranormal and therefore easy to dismiss, the reality of many phenomena is being verified. For a long time, there's been a popular belief in ESP, clairvoyance, and related abilities. I thought it would be interesting to devote a series of posts to some intriguing studies, but more importantly, there is a major discovery waiting around the corner. Science is about to realize that intelligence is a field effect and that this mind field surrounds us on all sides. Like the Earth's magnetic field, it is thanks to the mind field that our brains are able to think and also to connect with other minds, not by physical means, but invisibly, the way one magnet is connected to every other on Earth. The latest findings, which got wide publicity in the media, have to do with our ability to sense what is going to happen in the future. And the question is asked, is this really proof that man can see into the future? Lands Daily Mail reported on a Dutch professor of psychology, Dr. Dick Bierman, who is using real-time brain scans to see if people sense things before they happen. Sense is different from envision. Bierman is working with presentiment, the physical or emotional feeling that something unusual is about to happen. Anecdotally, presentiments have been associated with many, if not most, great disasters. Some people didn't go to work at the World Trade Center on 9/11 because they felt suddenly sick or uneasy. Similar symptoms have kept passengers from flying on planes that later crashed. The French crew of the Concorde had dark premonitions before one of the supersonic jets crashed in 2000. Children felt uneasy going to school the day a coal mine disaster engulfed a school in Wales in 1966, killing 144 people. One mother reported that her young daughter had a dream the night before of a black mass burying the school, which is exactly what occurred. They are as interesting developments. Science actually coming closer to something we've always realised that maybe couldn't actually prove. And a final item in the general news relates to the AIDS epidemic, and it reads from a person called Alan Campbell, who is an MD of some societal group, that he is a physician and AIDS researcher who has authored two books on the man-made origin of HIV/AIDS, and he calls one AIDS and the Doctors of Death, an inquiry into the origin of the AIDS epidemic, and his other book is called Queer Blood, the Secret AIDS Genocide Plot. Apparently, on the eve of the blue moon of May 31st, 2007, he says he was sent the most explosive email he has ever received concerning possible insider evidence pertaining to the man-made epidemic of AIDS. The communication was sent by Sue Arrigo, MD, who claimed she was a physician licensed in California. Because her email was so mind-blowing, I immediately Googled Arrigo and found several entries, including a note on one set website in which Arrigo claimed to have been kidnapped, raped and threatened with death in 2004. He mentioned this wasn't mentioned in her email to him. And in addition, he checked online and verified that she was indeed a licensed CA physician, although her license expired in December 2006, and her current residence is in Canada. In her email, Dr. Arrigo asked if I would help her to get the word out to interested persons. And a question was asked that if anyone who received this communication to do all they can to spread the word regarding her accusations that AIDS is a man-made disease. Over the past two decades, there have only been a handful of other physicians and health professionals who have had the courage to alert the public to the evidence that AIDS is man-made. Namely, Robert Strecker, MD, William Campbell Douglas, MD, Eva Sneed, MD, and Leonard G. Horowitz, DDS. In general, their research books, videos, and internet communications have been ignored by the CDC, the NIH, and AIDS establishment, and the major media, etc., and merely passed over as conspiracy theory and paranoia. Now, Dr. Arrigo has a long association with the CIA as an expert on biological warfare and also has apparent ties to the highest powers and presidents in the US government. Thus, her insider status makes her an extremely valuable witness to the truth about AIDS and its man-made origin. And the call is put out. Please do all you can to confirm or deny the truth of Dr. Arrigo's accusations and to publicise her plight and to air her plea on behalf of the abominations of secret biological warfare, experimentation and use against human beings. And with that, Alan Camp will attach her email, or a copy of her email, to him in its entirety. And he wanted that sent around, as he said, in truth and justice. I won't read out the email. It's quite a long one, actually. But again, I think it's nice after certainly the many reports I read that were put around on the internet by Dr. Horowitz, very good, excellent, well-researched report, that someone else has taken it up. Right, I now can move on to my UFO section. But a couple of up-to-date items before I go back to my old 60s UFO hearing reports. One is interesting, came out just a couple of weeks ago, and it's a report that's come out from NASA, and according to them, tachyons are hypothetically faster than light particles, and physicists ask themselves, what would be the characteristics of matter if it did move faster than light? A kind of thought experiment. One odd thing is that to slow down a tachyon, you would have to put energy into it. In fact, it would take infinite energy to get it slowed down to the speed of light. That is, if it has any mass. And the writer said, that brings me to the next interesting point. One way to view the momentum of tachyons is to consider that they have an imaginary mass. So far, any attempt to observe a tachyon has come up dry. and most physicists have abandoned the idea that tachyons might be real. The only tempting recent clue was a recent measure of the rest mass of a neutrino. They got an imaginary number. This result was attributed to tachyon properties. In fact, the experimental report attributed the results to possible errors in some of the supporting information used to make the calculations. But in recent days, scientists in different parts of the world are astonished at computer models that show that a spaceship can easily pass through the black hole singularities and limit circles with the tachyon shield. Apparently, many defense labs and space research centers all around the world are trying to understand the concept of tachyons with the help of simulated extraterrestrial flight patterns. So our knowledge about these things seems to be increasing the whole time. An article that came off galacticframes.com, it's got a very big menu there actually, lots of interesting links, was talking about a UN resolution regarding ET contact from January the 12th this year. I think I read out an article possibly about that time, but it might not do any harm to confirm that the UN General Assembly now has resolution to establish United Nations decade of contact and diplomatic relations with ETs. Apparently, for the first time in almost 27 years, the United Nations General Assembly will be debating the issue of establishing diplomatic relations with advanced extraterrestrial civilizations that may now be visiting Earth. Interesting. I don't know if in between time, bearing in mind a few months have elapsed since that proposal was put forward, whether there have been any developments. I haven't seen anything about it, but the wheels of these big organisations move pretty slow. I'm moving on now to these UFO hearing reports that came from a Flying Saucer Review magazine in September-October 1969. And the one I have here now is one related to one that occurred in 1951 in the USA. The person concerned with it was someone called Fred Regan. And apparently an account of this alleged occurrence came into the hands of Derek Dempster when he was the first editor of the Flying Saucer Review. That goes back to January 1955, apparently. And he did not publish it, nor did anybody else, because it seemed that they thought the report was too preposterous and too fantastic to be true. So now we read it now with the experience we've had of contact with ETs and see what we think of it. From the report, the writer here said that all that concerns us now is that this man is reported to have been flying a Parker Cub light aircraft in the United States in July 1951, when his machine was struck by a pulsating, lozenge-shaped UFO. The wrecked craft and he, with no parachute, were falling. When he began to feel that he was being sucked upwards by some, as he described it, sticky, clinging force, and he was drawn into the UFO. Inside that mysterious object, he found himself in the presence of small, glistening beings about 3 foot tall. He said it looked like huge stalks of metallic asparagus. A very comical description. He claimed these beings somehow spoke to him in English. I would comment, no doubt, by thought transference. And they apologised for the accident and subsequently deposited him unconscious, but without even a bruise, in a farmer's meadow besides the wreckage of his aircraft that had fallen several thousand feet, the engine embedding itself 6 foot into the soil. Before depositing him, however, the beings gave him a medical examination, and finding that he had what we call cancer, removed it from his system as a slight reparation for the loss that we have caused you, as they said. Now, the writer said, I suggest, in light of all that we have heard and learned about UFOs in the 17 years that have elapsed since this weird tale of Fred Regan, is deserving of the most careful and most objective scrutiny. For it terminates with the following press report which was dated May 16, 1952, from Atlanta in Georgia. And it said, quote, Fred Reagan, who made headlines last year when he had been a visitor aboard a flying saucer, died today in a state asylum for the insane. Cause of death was determined to be degeneration of the brain tissue due to, and this is the point here, due to extreme atomic radiation. Authorities are unable to offer an explanation. There we are. The facts of his death seem to match the facts of his contact with ETs. I'm not going to read any more of those out tonight. I'll keep them for week on week unless I've got a lot of time, because I would like to read a message that I had today from Saint Germain. I thought it was an excellent one. He's got the sort of energy that for me seems to be different to my other contacts. The rest are all ETs. And I certainly seem to know when Saint Germain is there. And his message through me read, as you go about your daily routine, you are often remote from the greater happenings. You become engrossed in the matters of the day that often fully occupy your attention. This is why it is so important that you allow time for yourself and your own thoughts. Each day, it is a useful exercise to ask what you have learned from it. Perhaps you have been required to do things against your better judgment, or have less than desirable contact with other beings. Wherever you are, and no matter what you are doing, you are continually forced to consider your actions and those of others. It is not always possible to change the ways of others, but you can project forward ideas of your own. It is the continual changes in people's consciousness that eventually decides their approach and attitude to others. Mass consciousness is therefore also continually changing, and it has a general effect that moves large numbers of people towards a new way of expressing themselves. The influences upon Earth are a dominant factor, and a critical player in them is your media. You're becoming more discerning, and through your ability to analyse matters, can see through the false information that is fed to you as the truth. From a higher level, you're given every help to enable you to ascertain the truth, and it largely takes the form of a direct influence through your guides. In a more general manner, there are the uplifting energies that are continually being played upon you from the realms of light. The battle of light and dark is a personal one, but it also determines the state of your mass consciousness. The value of what you're offered can be summed up in as much that if it causes harm to another, then it is of the dark energies. Man has levels of acceptance that have been imposed upon him, and many never question what they are expected to do. Of course, where your livelihood is concerned, it is necessary to be cautious, but there are always opportunities to make a subtle point. It is talking amongst yourselves that molds attitudes of mind, where often the majority opinion holds sway. People ask what they can do to change things, and there are numerous ways, including the political process and exchange of information on your internet. With the intent to become active in this way, you'll certainly find an outlet for your thoughts. You may have heard that through prayer or meditation, you can have a direct line to God. And this is absolutely true. Although it may surprise you, it is instantaneous, and back through your higher self, you will get a response. The problem for you at times is that you expect to receive exactly what you have requested, and tend to ignore any other response. Also, some answers to your requests require solutions that take time to manifest. Man has always had a tendency to be impatient where the answers to prayers are concerned. Realize that your life is closely intertwined with others, and there has to be an overall consideration as to your effect upon them. There is additionally a karmic plan for your life that has been agreed by you, and although you may try to alter it, it will be guided so that you follow your preordained path. Free will does not give you carte blanche where karma is concerned, as it will always remain as a task that you will be required to experience. At this critical time, mankind is at the crossroads, and it would be easy to follow the leader. If, however, you are to determine your own future, you must now exercise your own power so that decisions can be yours alone. The power field is not fully understood, yet it is operating with or without your cooperation, and laying down your future reality. Some look elsewhere for guidance, but look within, where you already have the answers you seek. Although man loves to belong to groups, particularly where you're the like kind, often his greatest achievements are a result of communion with himself. You ask questions, and sometimes answers are not always provided in the way you expect, as they can be in symbolic form or enacted in your dreams. Generally, dreams are vague ramblings of the waking mind, but every so often you find one that clearly impinges itself upon your consciousness. Take note of these, as they usually have a message for you. On other occasions, you may be drawn to other people who have been led to you and can be instrumental in providing what is required. Life is really quite simple if you know how things work, and as I have informed you, the best advice and help comes from within. With the hectic lifestyle some of you have, it is difficult to find those quiet moments that are essential for you. However, do try and set aside little time every day to reflect on what you have learned. It is an ideal time to contemplate solutions to problems that are unresolved. When you are releasing the 101 thoughts that keep passing through your minds, you can centre on self, and guidance can more easily come through. Many souls are at this time in a quandary as they sense the changes, and it makes them feel unsettled and sometimes agitated. They are often standing at the door of truth but cannot see that they enter it through self. Help can be given by others, but they are also seeking their own path. By all means, listen and note what appears to be sound advice, but then, at the end of the day, go within. We are all individuals, and rarely do two think alike. But wisdom can be found in many souls, and even those who do not otherwise claim to be spiritually and inspired. Experience is a tool that advances your evolution, and is not why your elders are revered. And finally, the lessons of life revolve around the understanding of your ability to express your love towards all other life forms. When you can reach a level of expressing unconditional love, you have no further need to experience in duality. Your vibrations will automatically reunite you with those energies in the higher dimensions. You will have returned to levels that are the home of light beings. This is your natural evolutionary path, and ascension is the stepping stone that lifts you up. Live in your love and give of it freely, and know that you are blessed by the great beings that are guiding humanity back to source. And there were the words channeled through myself today from Saint Germain. Now, I've got a few minutes left, because as any regular listener will know, I now have to conclude the programme at 9:55 to give the studio time to do their bit and prepare for the following programme. I will just say that having made some notes from another spiritual message that came out in October last year, which was called Living in Love, and at that time, unfortunately, for some reason, the name of the person who channeled it wasn't noted. But it spoke of a message coming through various sources. Zadia, Tikili, Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, Seraphim, and light to others. And it was talking of what it is like to be in love. And also of honouring your body and your experiences, even if the trials you experienced caused you difficulties. They say that awareness is managed by your beautiful cellular awareness, even if you do not enjoy what you do. And it said, if you have problems, speak to your higher self. And that really echoes, does it not, something that was referred to by Saint Germain in the message I have just read out. Now, I haven't got time to read the whole of this message, but having referred to it, what I'll do, I'll keep it on the side hoping I get the opportunity to read it next week. I can quickly tell you in the time that is left that I had a telephone call from a friend who asked me if I could comment on the fact that when he was meditating, he saw a being appear. And he had difficulty describing it, although he knew it wasn't an earth being. So I told him what a few of the ETs looked like, where, say, for example, the Syrians, Pleiadians, and others that are more related to us and our evolution are very human in appearance. But this one wasn't. Anyway, I established that he thought it was like a lizard, so we obviously concluded that it was one of the reptoids. So I did ask if he could feel any energy emanating from this being, but he couldn't. So I advised him to check if this being occurred again and be guided by his own feeling of what the energy was like. I can imagine it was probably an observer. And of course, the reptoids are the ones that we tend to be a little bit more wary of because of their history. But of course, like all of these different types of ETs, there are different levels of being, and some of them have now turned to the light. So with that short story, I'm going to leave you now. Thank you very much for being with me. I hope you enjoyed the subject matter that I produced for this program. So thanks again. God bless you all.